Meeting started, okay? All right, my name is Nancy Johnson, and I am the chair of the Monument Square Landmark District Study Committee. And I'm gonna call the meeting to order. And we'll start off with, if we can take attendance to see who's here from the committee.
So I'll just do a quick roll call vote. Crystal Galvin.
Here.
Ian Urquhart.
Here.
Kirsten Hoffman.
Here.
Amith. Linda, Jeff, Fadi, Intia, Julie Hall,
here.
Lindsay Mack Jones,
here.
Nancy Johnson,
here.
Senham.
Here.
All right, that is who we have. We have six members with us today.
And that's a quorum.
Okay,
so we have a quorum to do our work today. And we will move into the first agenda item, which is the review and vote on the minutes from the July 16th meeting, public meeting. Did anyone have any corrections or comments? Okay, well then we'll vote to ratify the minutes. Can I have a motion?
Motion to
the
second.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we're all set with that. Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit about meeting format going forward. This space really hasn't worked well for the hybrid model, partly because it's one of these sturdy pre-war buildings that doesn't allow for good Wi-Fi coverage, and we've had some pretty spotty reception. It's really not set up equipment-wise for people to be able to hear well, or for us to be able to hear them well if they're online. So the suggestion is that we would go forward with in-person only, which is what this meeting was noticed for. But we may want to also discuss that having some virtual meetings going forward may be good, especially when we're talking about standards, where we need to go line by line through things and discuss them. That's a little harder in this format as well, and I think hard for people who want to participate or follow along to also participate in, unless we're doing it virtually on Zoom. So I don't know if people want to talk about that from the committee or from Landmarks.
I was the manager for the Highland Park Architectural Conservation District.
Jennifer, just for people who don't know you, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, I'm Jennifer Gobler. I'm on staff at the Landmarks Commission. I'm the architectural historian, and I went through a similar process for Highland Park, which is in Roxbury, a couple years ago. And when we were holding that study committee, it was very much, when COVID was still very much a factor, so almost all of the meetings were virtual. But we found that it actually worked quite well to meet virtually when we were going through those standards for the district, because we're really looking closely at a text and we all have it on the screen in front of us and just go line by line. So it worked quite well, and we thought we could do that for some of the meetings, especially if the weather's bad in the winter and things like that.
Does anyone else from Landmarks have something to weigh in or recommend?
Nancy, can I make a request that you and everyone try and speak up, because on this side of the room,
can't hear you.
When you turn that way, we really can't hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, could you move to that side of the room maybe?
I can't hear
you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think there are other ways that you can make sure that you hear me. Okay, so I think in terms of what what was just shared by Jennifer is that in the most recent Landmark district study, they did, especially when they were talking about the standards and conditions that would apply to the Landmark district, was that it would. That they did that virtually because it was much easier for people to follow along with the text and comment on it. I think we are also heading into the winter and some bad weather. So I think, you know, again, in terms of people being able to commute into Charlestown, we might need to have some of these meetings online. It may be more convenient for some people to attend online. We will hold community engagement And well, that's one of the things we're talking about tonight. There will be community engagement events, which will be held in the community. So I think we can strike a balance on that. But I'd like to hear if anyone on the committee has some thoughts on that before we go forward. Crystal?
No, I think if it's needed, we just publicize it in enough time, and then
mm-hmm. Julie, any thoughts? You're so good to give us this museum space.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm not going to put everyone else's comfortable with either way.
So we're comfortable going either way. So to the extent that we have meetings at the museum, they'll be in person only because it does not support hybrid effectively. And to the extent that we think there are meetings that would be better served virtually, they'll be virtual only, and not, you know, making people go downtown to sit in City Hall where there is access to do a hybrid meeting. But I think if you have people having to go all the way down there, we're going to not get as many committee members, and I think we also won't get as much in-person attendance either. I don't know about you, it can take me an hour to get downtown from here to City Hall. So I think that goes forward. So does anyone need any more discussion on that?
I just want to add that if there's any need for public input, that it's only in the
I'm sorry, excuse me.
If it's public input, you know, part of the agenda, it should be in person, just to ensure we get
people. Well, I think,
if you don't mind, I'll add just 2 cents mm-hmm. that we've been running hearings and meetings virtually since the pandemic, and honestly, like, in addition to what Nancy said about people getting places, like, we've had way more constituent turnout at these, and it's also easier to facilitate public comment because people raise their hand. There is a way for you to signify that you're caught, and it makes it much more orderly, and you can make sure, okay, everyone has gone. That's just, I'll say, like, we personally haven't really had a problem, but I understand completely what your point is.
So, and I think to that extent, no, we're not doing public comment. Now, we'll do public comment at the end. No, we're doing public comment at the end. We're having a regular order right now of the meeting. Public comment will be at the end if you have time. So, I think, nope, we're moving on with the agenda. I'm talking to the committee members at the moment. So, I do think that in the case we will have public engagement meetings where we're asking for specific input on things like once we set proposed boundaries, that would be part of our public engagement event. That would be in person somewhere. But in terms of like just any public meeting, if at the end we want to allow for comments or questions, then that can be done virtually. I mean, tonight is a fabulous turnout.
Yeah.
I really want to thank everyone who showed up tonight. But this is the first night we've had people come, and we've had a couple of meetings now. So I do think some people find it difficult to get back to Charlestown by 6:30, and I think there are a lot of interested parties. So we want to make it as accessible for people as possible. So I think we're going
to
move on. If there's no one else on the committee, is anyone else on the committee like to speak? No. That's on tonight's agenda,
oh,
Julie. So that's on tonight's agenda to talk about setting our first one. But it didn't seem like a good use of the community's time if we hadn't come together as a committee with some decision about where we at least want to propose boundaries and then bring that to the community to comment on in a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that made a little more sense. Because we've already done when there was a mayor's coffee hour, people in the community came up and like put post-its all over a map.
It was really successful.
So this is sort of after our boundary walks and looking at maps and having some presentations. Now we can kind of say this is what we might propose as a committee. We can get public feedback and then we can come back and see what we want to do with that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So,
and I'll add really quick, Nancy. I just added in here. I'm sorry, I'm speaking. I added in here what the ad for the newspaper will look like.
Okay.
Very similar to the planning department's ad.
Mm-hmm.
Says Monument Square. Says the meeting information. I'll add in there the note about the side door because I forgot to put that in there. It'll have my contact, the department's contact information, and the link to our website where the meeting notices can be found. Also, I'm going to add a QR code onto here. So,
okay.
Sorry, those two edits need to be made, but this is what you should expect to see in the newspaper for advertisements for these meetings.
Okay, so this is, so we've talked about meeting format and notice, and this notice sort of, is this kind of going into the public feedback piece of what we've gotten, Gabby?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the comments we've gotten, I think a lot of committee members have individually gotten it from people who they've spoken to, but we've also had some letters about how we're getting noticed out to the community, both about the meetings, and what we really want to do is have a good plan going forward before we have our community engagement thing. So Elizabeth and I had a good conversation about social media and making sure that we're getting posts that are specific with specific information about what's happening at each meeting. We're going to be setting our meeting schedule in advance tonight so we can publish a full meeting schedule. We were kind of run over twice this fall by the planning department because we didn't have our meeting schedule up. And so by scheduling out our meetings, we are going to coordinate with planning to make sure that they're not scheduling over us. And that they're aware of our meetings, and they've already agreed that if they know about it, they won't schedule over us. So, and then we're going to ask Sean Breen to work with some of the other city departments to make sure that the same thing like ISD and some of the other groups that sometimes have community meetings. We also got run over by the police meeting, but that was okay because we've been trying to get
that was a long time. You were talking about
before. Yeah, that's been for a long time. But anyway, so trying to get that meeting schedule set up tonight, get that out in the public, get a social media so that there are Instagram posts that can be shared. We talked about flyering, and I'd like to get some input from the committee about whether we should flyer households in the community, like going out and putting flyers on doors generally, or I would think we might want to wait until we knew we were having the date of our first community engagement event to generate more interest for people to come to that. So I'm just wondering how the committee has any thoughts on when we would like to flyer the community. Anyone on the committee thoughts on that? Are you okay doing it around the event?
I think that's what you did for Highland Park too, right? And that was pretty successful. Having like that be a really big like door opening sort of situation where you're talking about the committee having more deliverables to actually speak on in an engagement event.
Okay. Yeah. And then I don't know if somebody from Landmarks could talk a little bit about internally the process for getting an ad in the paper. We've talked about getting something in on community events, like sort of that, like what's happening in Charlestown mm-hmm. section of the paper more regularly. So if you want to give a little talk about how you guys go about that.
Before we do that, to see hands going up, can we just say that we do have planned stops where we are going to ask for public feedback? So we will definitely have the opportunity to speak tonight, but we just want the committee members to kind of, share their thoughts, and that gives you something to respond back to. So please be sure that we will be asking for public feedback. The newspaper ad process, actually, Gabby, you can report into that. It's a little different than what I'm used to, which is more of a legal ad. This is more of a sort of event announcement. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So basically, what we have to do is generate an ad that we send to the Patriot Bridge or whatever other newspaper you might want. And they will essentially run it and charge back the city for however much it costs. That being said, kind of piggybacking off of what Jen said, we haven't really run just like ads in the newspaper like this. We've done our legal notices for landmark designation. So this is what I'm taking lead from planning on what has worked for them. And it seems like my impression is that now there is some pretty thorough advertisements from their end to the community. So I thought they did a good job. Let me emulate that. So it should be comparable. I don't know how much it will cost. It'll just be something we will sort of know for our own records of how much generally it'll cost to run ads. But it is that I think on the in between me typing something up and it being in the newspaper, there's a couple levels of like approval we need to make sure things go through and like the comms end and leadership. So sometimes there's just a little bit of double checking. But I think like what you said, Nancy, if we have everything sort of fleshed out today, it's going to be like a one and done approval, and it can just be very churn it out and get it in the paper and get everything advertised.
Okay. Because I think my concern has been, and I've voiced this, is that we're not getting, we haven't gotten things in the paper really so far,
yeah.
And we haven't, and when I look at, and Landmarks is doing a support on that, so I don't have control over
yeah.
that, the committee does not have control over that, but I do think, you know, the regular social media posts that people can share,
mm-hmm.
I've been making my own,
yeah.
I think the, you know, getting it in some ads in the paper, the flyering, I mean, we really, it just, especially if we can set the dates and know that they're in stone, that that gives the community a sense of what's happening,
yeah.
when it's happening, and more of an ability to listen in on meetings and then also to participate in the community engagement events. So,
mm-hmm.
so to the extent that you're running into internal hurdles on that, if there's something that any of us on the committee can do in terms of adding our voices to help clear those obstacles, to let people in the city know how important we think the community engagement and notice part is,
mm-hmm.
I hope you'll let us know.
Yeah.
Because I know that none of us are shy about, like, writing letters. And
yeah. And I think a problem that, unfortunately, we had as a committee is sort of, like, when we started and people's schedules and, like we said, a couple roadblocks and conflicts, and we had a sort of system for dates that we were thinking about scheduling meetings in, and then those were getting canceled and rescheduled pretty frequently, which also does make it hard to advertise things when we have to cancel last minute and reschedule. So I'm really hoping, based off of what you're saying today as chair and what we're doing as staff, that this can all be discussed and reviewed by the committee and we can get some public feedback at the end. And also a plug for the committee members to fill out the attendance tracker, because as soon as I can lock in those days, the sooner I can have them sitting on the city calendar and no one can schedule over them. So please make sure to fill out the attendance tracker if you haven't. But like I said, this has been approved at this point. So in theory, if we have our next meeting date set by the end of today's meeting,
yeah.
I can send an updated one of this in the newspaper tomorrow.
Okay. So I did look at the tracker, and I'm gonna call some people out here. Julie. I don't think you even responded for tonight. So if you could maybe even just check in with one of the Landmark people. I know you were having some trouble getting into the document. So
I
maybe
was,
if you could just...
I made everyone an editor, but then it said everyone had to like get permission, so I'm sorry there was
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, and then I reached out to Antia. She's not here tonight. I will reach out to her again. Linda, Amit, Fadi, and Sinem, all of you need to provide some more some dates. So I don't know if do you want to call out the dates and see if people can
yes,
do them?
Yes. Sorry, just found out my cousin was born. All right, study committee / also the general public, unless there is any sort of other community conflicts we'll need to eventually schedule over. But so we have today. The next date that we have scheduled on our attendance tracker is October 29th.
Okay.
The next
one make October 29th?
Yes.
Anyone who can't? And Tia's not here. Linda's here, right?
No, Linda's not
no,
here.
No, Linda's not here. Okay. Amit is not here. Fadi?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Senem's
not here. And Sarah's not here? Okay. So I'll call those folks to catch up. So, but if everyone, and then what are the other dates?
So the next is the October 29th. The meeting after that will be November 12th.
Anyone can't make the 12th that's here? You can't? Julie's out? Okay.
Oh, you scheduled for okay.
Sorry.
Actually, nix that because we have another hearing conflict with that.
We do?
We have the BLC commission.
Oh, okay.
Which day is that?
The 12th, November 12th. So cross that out. I'm sorry for that confusion. I'll circle back on a date for that. The date after that would be December 3rd.
Is that a problem for anybody who's here? Okay.
December 17th and January 14th.
Okay. Anyone have a problem with those dates? It's on the committee?
December 17th is a no.
I'm sorry, what?
December 17th is a no.
She's already RSVP'd.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal filled it all out.
Crystal did.
That's Crystal, great. Crystal's going to be like this deep in wrapping paper
yeah,
and gifts.
Yeah.
What
was
January?
14.
And so I'll just add that is the number of dates I have looked at and selected because, in theory, the work plan that we had discussed at the first meeting called for that number of meetings. And we can obviously have more meetings if we need to, but that's just the only reason it goes that far.
Okay. All right. One other potential outreach. I didn't know if anyone on the committee is interested, they can email me, but we were thinking of perhaps just having flyers and a table just to raise some awareness at the farmer's market. There's only two more left, but if someone's willing to do a little bit of time there with me, that would be great. I won't do it alone, but if someone will buddy with me, I will do it. So is anyone here on the committee interested in doing that? Or
Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Like,
it's 1 to 6.
It's 1 to 6, but we could do 3 to 6 or something like that. So.
And I can provide those flyers and materials. I can also come
flyers,
for some part of it.
Flyers and maps. And
I can do it with you the 29th before this meeting.
Okay.
Would that work?
Yeah, October 29th. I think that's the last farmer's market.
Oh,
so. Okay, great, Julie. Awesome. Julie and Nancy at the farmer's market.
Come on.
Be my last shot to get apples and stuff, too. So, all right. That's awesome. Thank you, Julie. Because I thought that would be good. And I also think that the businesses, having the local businesses weigh in on some of this would be useful. Because I do think they have benefited from some of like the historic events and the 250 events and things like that that happened this year. So they have an interest in it as well. And I agree on the Charlestown organizations. I've reached out to a few of them, but maybe I can talk to you and get a fuller list and we can work on sending out a notice to them as well, because if it can be in people's newsletters, then that's another way to reach everybody. I completely agree. Thank you, Julie. Good suggestion. Julie is like a communications maven, so she's on top of all of this stuff. Great. All right. Okay, public feedback. Let's hear the landmark staff report.
Yeah, so for our staff report, it's been a while since we've had our last official meeting, and so in terms of emails or any sort of comments we've received from the public, I circulated those with the committee ahead of time, and both, I think, Erin and Kelly both, I forget both your last names, I'm sorry, submitted comment. The committee has seen them, they've been circulated, and they read them, they have them, and I would say, kind of in summary, it seems like there's concern overarching about like not exactly knowing what is entailed in the district. Hi, Antia. But it seemed like a lot of it was coming from what that the regulations might impose on people and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, we don't have any regulations for the district yet in place or that we're talking about. So I just wanted to point, it seems like there's just a little bit of nervousness about, oh, what's the implication for my house? Am I going to have to spend more money on this? Am I going to have more hurdles? So, yeah, that's kind of in summary what we've heard so far since the last meeting.
Okay.
But then I would pass it over to the committee for.
Okay. Has anyone on the committee in particular been hearing concerns that they'd like to talk about or raise?
Nothing since our last meeting, no.
Okay. One of the things we discussed sort of generally on the boundary walk when we were talking about people's concerns about the expense of meeting, well, first of all, like you said, there are no standards in place yet. That is something that's going to come along. But I do think, like, one of the things that people raised was, again, the concern about cost, is having some people at our community event that talk about, like, hardship waivers.
Right.
Also talking with, like, Age Strong about estate planning and planning and continuity of how you can pass your house along and these types of things where people are not faced with emergencies. But talking, you know, a little bit more about planning, about if you want your kids to have your house or you don't, you want to sell it, those types of things that maybe we can have some people there and some resources. Because I think some of the questions that have been raised are really raised around estate planning, about how you sell real estate, about those types of things, and also whether there can be, you know, different kinds of waivers and what the thresholds are, like in terms of costs that, that trigger certain things, and how much of a renovation you have to be doing. And so I think getting our first community event is probably going to be talking about boundaries, but we'll have another one probably to talk about what the proposed, I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to keep saying terms and conditions, but standards and criteria are for the area. And one thing that the committee did get were there were sort of three levels from three different districts around the city. One that was like very light, in which case they found that they can't stop some of the things that they thought they could stop. One that was sort of medium, and then sort of like the Beacon Hill, you know, anything we see we want to regulate model. So I think having those are something that have been circulated around to the committee to read through, and that's something that we need to think about for our next meeting. But it's also something that the community will get to weigh in on when we're starting to set that. Those are not set in stone until the committee, and in any case, the committee will make a report at the end of our work, which will then have to go through, what's the process, Elizabeth? So there'll still be lots of chances for the community to weigh in on what they think about it, and points along the way that they can put pressure to change it if they want to. So the study committee's report will be its report, but it's not even cast in stone at that moment. So I think that's important for people to understand. Okay. Anything else from the committee? Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next topic.
Yeah. So this meeting, I thought we can talk about the proposed boundaries for the Monument Square Landmark District. Like you pointed out, Nancy, we've had two neighborhood walks that were open to the public, where we traveled the proposed boundary and other areas around the Monument Square, service of considering if we're going to expand it or not, or if the study committee wants to consider expanding the boundaries. We can also have a vote on that as well,
because
we have a quorum. And I kind of want to talk, like, open it up to the committee to any sort of observations you had. I mean, I think myself and Jen can definitely speak on what we've heard from the committee at these walks, but I'm curious to hear your guys' opinions after.
Can I ask one question? I didn't hear notice of the first one, and what's the second one? Mm-hmm. So what other ones did we have?
There were two boundary walks.
Are you serious?
So I think what we'll do is we'll kind of keep this to the committee for right now, but there were two boundary walks. They were both noticed. The second one had been rescheduled twice, first because of a heat emergency, and the second time because of one of our monsoon rainstorms that we kind of wiped everything out. So that one actually didn't happen until September. But in any event, I think, I'm sorry, Cynthia?
Question about the boundary walks. Mm-hmm. Just because I think it might be helpful for the public to know. Gabriella, did you keep track of how many people
Oh, I don't have that on me, but yeah, I have in the notes.
I think that'd be good for people to just see that, like, you know, in fact, people did come to the boundary walks.
Yeah. So if you can share that later with the committee, and maybe we can talk about that later at like our next meeting, just to circle back on that. But my sense was, I think we probably had about 8 people for the first one.
I was not the first
one. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we did have people that were non-committee members at both of them. So, and people like weighed in on a number of issues and asked a lot of very good questions of the Landmark staff as we walked around. So I thought those were very productive. But why don't we hear from Landmark, sort of like what they thought they heard of that, and then the committee members can respond to see if there's something different or something that they recall from the meeting, from the boundary walks that isn't covered. I think that's probably the easier way to do this.
I mean, John, I think the thing, one of the biggest things that we heard ultimately in a couple different ways was wanting to designate more of the neighborhood in some way, shape, or form. I think there were times we had walked down certain streets or seen certain areas that weren't in the original proposed boundary that we looked at, and we were like, how are we not gonna designate this also if we're gonna designate whatever other street is? So, I mean, I think overall, generally, it seemed like there was a desire from the committee to have a little bit more of, like, a wider boundary, but it didn't seem like that the, what seemed like what was happening in your guys' minds in terms of standards and criteria did not seem particularly restrictive, either, so it seemed very middle ground, and, but, yeah, I mean, it seemed like there were streets that people were interested in saying, well, what about this one, what about that one, and the integrity and how it relates to just like the rest of the surrounding area.
And I think the
do you have anything else to add? It's kind of the same.
No, I would say I agree. One of the biggest things that I think study committee members struggle with, as well as the members of the public who were there like talking with us, was how do you establish this hard edge of what is in the district and what is out? You know, because you look across the street and you say, well, that also looks beautiful and historic and worthy of protection. So I think there was that sort of question of if we expand, how much do we expand, where do we stop? And that kind of feeds into some staff recommendations that we've been thinking about that we're going to share with the committee tonight, and then we'd love to hear what the committee thinks, and subsequently that the public thinks about that. But yeah, I think that was the biggest takeaway for me, was sort of like, people want to protect a lot of Charlestown, but how do you draw that line? So we have some thoughts that we'll share.
Okay. I just want to, just for the benefit of people who are here for the first time, so the original thesis of the application was around the Monument Square because it was a planned development of buildings that were built over a series of years and by some different builders, but generally they had been planned together. And then people began to look at, I think at the mayor's coffee hour, Landmarks was there, and people came up and started marking much larger areas of Charlestown to say, what about the training field? What about some of these houses that lead, you know, on the street heading down to the training field? What about some of the side streets around the monument, where we're seeing the same style of building, the same types of buildings, some buildings that were even older? And I know that there were some thoughts about how, you know, reaching this actually down towards the Mystic River, but that sort of loses the narrative around what the thesis is for the Landmark District, and there has to be a thesis. So I guess if you're looking at, is that, that's the original proposed?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. So those parcels that you see here were in the petition because that was a planned development in 1839. There were, I think, 50 parcels. They were all subdivided, and there were actually restricted deed covenants as to like how you could build on that. So there's a very cohesive story within that boundary. And so that's where the original, you know, how the original petition got that boundary.
I just wanted to, and maybe it would be nice if the staff spoke to this as you present kind of the roundabout option that you've been thinking about. The thing that really stuck with me from the walk that I attended was this
slides ahead of this, but I do have a map of all the gas lights.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to go through?
So this is the boundary that we had seen at the last meeting that we were talking about, which included the proposed Breeds Hill National Register District that had not completed the entire process of being listed. Here's just a little bit more insight about this possible expanded boundary. These are, like you said, Nancy, some of the things that we looked at: architectural styles, construction dates, development blocks. We walked the boundaries, and our staff conclusion is that it's difficult to justify this boundary for a land use district because similar patterns can be seen outside of the district as well. This is a map of all the gas lamps in Charlestown. I cannot zoom in. this gives you an idea.
But I think that this map, it's very interesting, but I think it doesn't necessarily encompass what people are interested in protecting, which does extend north and west of the square. You can see most of the lamps are south and east, so we looked at this and we didn't really see a logical boundary to drive from this necessarily, although, you know, you all can speak to that, but do you want to go to the next slide, Gabby? What is your
So our staff recommendation is that if we went for the landmark district, we keep the original proposed boundary from the petition with slight modifications if necessary, like at the corners, and that there would be a protection area surrounding the proposed landmark district. And for the room, a protection area has a more limited scope of protection but still affords oversight over certain elements such as demolition, topography, landscaping. And this is just a little bit more information about the types of designations. We see the protection area very prominent in the south end, and I will just say that I think, as I was the planner for the South End Landmark District, this is the protection area. This is the protection area of the south end, so that's like Harrison Ave, what you see when you're driving down the highway, and then this is the landmark district. And I'll say, I honestly think that this protection area does a pretty good job of protecting views into the south end and having just enough regulation oversight where you want to encourage development and construction in this area that's just empty land. But still get some protections afforded. In addition, when a building is demolished in the protection area, the commission actually reviews the new construction project to the full standards of the district. So even though a protection area has lighter regulation, if you're going to build something new, they actually have just as much authority to regulate that as they would regulate anything else in the landmark district. So I can go back to that, but here is an outline of NTIA.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm confused on that last point. So, what is regulated in the landmark district that is not?
I have a slide for that. We'll get there in like 2 seconds. It's like two slides away, I think.
Yeah.
So this is the original proposed boundary of the district, and then this is a 1,200-foot circle around the boundary.
Can I clarify? Sorry, because I think the slide is confusing.
Yes.
This is not what we're recommending per se, but this is the
illustrating
allowable, the maximum protection area, which is in our legislation. So legally, we cannot go beyond 1,200 feet from the boundary of a landmark district. So again, this is in our recommendation. This is just like the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the next slide.
Yes, this helps to inform it.
Yeah.
And this would be our staff recommendation. Kind of a little box around the landmark district. It would help protect and regulate views of the monument. Which I think is a huge factor. I think as you saw on our walks, this is where we were walking around and going up and down Cordis Street. And I think Pleasant Street, I remember very specifically, there was a couple people saying, like, we have to have Pleasant Street, we have to have Monument Ave. So this does help to include those areas, but we don't have, I mean, like we've talked about, there aren't any standards or criteria yet, but in theory, someone in Monument Square might have to submit their application to repoint the building, but everyone who lives here is not going to have to worry about things like that.
So we have two slides forward. Is that skip that one.
Yeah. This is the what you're looking for.
What you're looking for. So, Gabby, you can speak to this as a former planner.
Yeah.
This is kind of the Landmark District can have a lot stricter guidelines, and we're proposing that that would only apply to the area within that original boundary, and then the protection area, the boundary of which is up for debate tonight, but you know, we're proposing that that go around that district, and that would protect things from demolition if it's unwanted, land coverage, height of structures can be protected, or I'm sorry, regulated, and landscape which can complicate.
But if you're building new, what was it that you're taking?
So what I was saying is that if someone comes in and they want to demolish a building, the protection area, they submit their application, the committee or commission would review the proposal. But ultimately, the way this is very choose your own adventure, you guys get to make your own rules for your district. You can approve a demolition, and then part of the conditions can be that when they come for their new project, their new building, it's not just limited to this. We would review the proposed new project to the standards of the Landmark District. So instead of reviewing a new project only for the height.
So it's not like that's for no demolition.
Right.
You then can do other stuff.
Yes.
And that's proactive, not retroactive to the projects that are already underway.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Proactive.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it, this
future
is
project.
Something
future
that, yeah, future project definitely was a hurdle bit in Highland Park of the commission being created and getting designated, but permits having been issued before that happened. So there was work happening. Like, we have a district now. How is this happening? It was issued before the district.
And all of this is all exterior.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do want to know, like, walking around your neighborhood, there are a couple houses that I feel were, I don't know what the ages are, but they kind of stick out as later info. So if those owners propose to demolish, you know, the way we could, if they were in the protection area, and if we wrote it the steering criteria, you would be able to then review.
But I think we want to get through the committee part first, and then we'll have, we'll like, before we wrap this section up, we'll do this. I would like to do it that way because I don't want us to get derailed from the committee being able to ask their questions first, because we will get derailed and we won't finish and get to a point where we take a vote. Now, we can have public comment before we vote, or we can have a public comment, whatever, but I would like to at least kind of get through these slides, get through any questions the committee has, and then we can go to the public.
I have a question. What's the status of demolition in the protection area? Like, is it the committee discusses it, and then we,
you mean, like, what's the process? Like, what do you review demolition to?
Like, prevent the demolition of significant structures in the Landmark District. Do you also prevent the demolition of significant structures in the protection area?
Yes,
or
yes.
Like,
yes. No.
So you can say, no, you cannot demolish that building. You can say that in the protection area.
Yeah.
You can.
You cannot say.
You can deny it.
Your windows are regulated. Like, that's not right. You can say no demolition.
But then if you say, yes, you can demolish, then you can say, and when you rebuild, to this.
Right. Right.
Yes, exactly.
How is this different from the existing demolition delay process? And,
so we can say that. Currently, if you're going to demolish a structure older than 50 years old, you do have to submit an application. If the Boston Landmarks Commission finds that it is a historically significant building and they vote to invoke demolition delay, the delay is only for 3 months. And then the person can go ahead and demolish the building.
And we don't have any sort of design review over what they're building.
Right. I will say other municipalities around Massachusetts have gone all the way up to 24 months in the hopes that during that delay period that they can work with the developer. What we
And can I just ask, in other jurisdictions, other states, how long is the demo delay? Like,
we have the shortest.
Massachusetts, very short? Okay.
We have, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, City of Boston has the shortest demolition delay period.
There are 2 to 12 months. Some are 18 or even more, but if you look at all the municipalities that have one in Massachusetts, they're like, almost all of them are 12 months.
Yeah.
And then you have 90 days.
Yeah. I mean, I will, like, throw a dog a bone and give some context that not all municipalities have historic preservation staff. So a lot of times there are, I think Needham or something has a 2-year delay because they have like one person who does all permits and everything. So they need longer, literally. So, but still, it should be longer.
How does this apply to municipally owned buildings or public, maybe it's not by Boston, but some government entity.
I mean, we are working through a process right now in the South End protection area with a fire station, right? And so, like, they need it to function as a modern fire station. So we're meeting with them to hear what they have to say. They understand they're in the protection area. They've been more than happy to talk to us. We want to know what their limitations are and discuss different scenarios. Like, could they keep it? Could they adapt it? If they demolish it? We would want to work with them on the design in the protection area, and potentially have them do, maybe some architectural salvage, have some very distinct pieces of the fire station that there is there right now. So we do work with the property management office of the city quite often.
Because I think the zone you were showing there for the protection zone would include like the public library, the YMC, or the Boys and Girls Club, this building, the fire station, right? We're all included in that.
Right, right. And that's something if we really wanted to call it out within the study report, we can definitely get the study report somewhat customized.
Yeah, maybe just to highlight for like a need for future cooperation.
These were the slides that I had for the boundary information. I have this, I don't know how it's going to come into play now anymore, but
if anyone wants to know the legal definitions of these things, you have them, but you don't.
They're available on the website. I had printed out this map here of the,
ask one question? So in terms of having the protection area, so like say the training field and the houses that go on that little street down to the training field, so if they're in the protection area, so one of the things that came out in the boundary walk was we looked at two buildings side by side, and one of them kind of looked like it was like a scrubbed rendering of a building. They were the same type of building. They'd been built by the same builder and designer. And one, sort of all the exterior architectural elements had been changed. The window sizes had been downsized. The other one had maintained a lot of the historic exterior details. And one of the things about being in the landmark district is that if someone was doing significant renovations to the building that had been scrubbed, like they might have to then meet the criteria and put back those sort of historic exterior markers. But in the protection area, well, if someone demos the building, we could have them come back to the standards and criteria. If they're just renovating, is there anything that can be done?
So, again, inside, we don't do any regulation. If we're going to say, for example, they need to replace their roof, right? Is like maybe that a good example? If they're going to replace their roof in kind, it's going to look exactly the same. That would just be exempt. But in a world where they're changing their roof and they're adding a story in there, or maybe changing the roof line and adding height, changing the configuration, that would end up coming to us for review because it would change the height of the structure.
Okay. So if they were just doing like a gut rehab where they left the shell but they just left everything else out inside of it, nothing could be done with the exterior. Like there would be nothing would apply to the exterior in the protection zone. So like
correct.
The trade-off. I'm just trying to point out the trade-off expanding because if there are buildings there that had historic significance and maybe had lost some of their detail, they can't be brought back just because they're doing a renovation project. It has to meet one of these criteria. It can't just be they've gutted it, they've left the shell.
Exactly.
And
like, I don't love that. But, you know, people do it, and I can't, it's just outside of what our charge is and what we're stewarding. Yeah, you can still do that in the landmark district.
Okay.
I don't want you to.
Yeah, we have no interior jurisdiction.
Okay, but I'm not really worried about what's going on. But in the landmark district, if they have a project of a certain size like that, a gut rehab, but they weren't planning to do anything to the outside, could you then have them do something to the outside?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. It wouldn't even come to
us. So it doesn't trigger it. The only thing that triggers it is something that's being done to the exterior that's significant.
Okay,
yeah.
If they were doing windows in the protection zone versus windows in the landmark zone, could you explain a little bit
about that? Yeah. So someone's going to say, I need to replace my windows, and they live in the protection area. They would just go to the building department, submit their building permit application, and do whatever you have to do. I only know the landmarks then, but they will just go about their business. It shouldn't even like flag me to mark it as exempt or anything. It should just be on its way because it'll say the coding for these permits. It'll say interior, so therefore we won't get flagged because it's going to say just interior. But I'll say too, sometimes people put different things on permits and they don't always necessarily flag like the right triggers. But we are like very used to that as staff and are always doing our due diligence, checking permits. Sometimes I might get a permit for the south end and someone says that they're just doing bathroom renovation. Can you just mark it as exempt? And then I go look and they actually have to do an exhaust fan on the outside, but they think in their head that, oh, I'm doing it on the inside. I've had people call window replacement interior work because they're replacing them from the inside. So it's really about what you see on the outside. So I don't know if that can like help explain a little bit.
So window replacement in the landmark versus the protection area, how are those treated differently?
So I won't even know. And
two scenarios. So like one might be, I'm just replacing windows.
Yeah.
Another is I'm changing size. So one of the things we saw is that some of these buildings, even around Monument Square, they've made the windows smaller because internally they've changed floor heights or ceiling heights or whatever, which is an internal change, but it also requires the external change of the window size.
Yeah.
So how does that happen in both districts?
So basically the way that it works, there's another element of like permitting that happens that is a geographical factor. So whatever the boundaries are, whenever they're designated, we provide that geographical data to the Department of Innovation and Technology, who's like our IT department. And they work with the building department so that if someone lives at 43 Monument Square and they need to replace, they're doing window work, it'll flag our review because they will be geographically within the landmark district. And it could say replace, change window opening size, replace with whatever types of windows. It'll come to us and we'll say submit an application. And we'll get that whole application and we'll review whatever they're proposing. If someone lives in the protection area and they need to do the same exact thing, change their window opening size, I literally will not know because it's exempt. And so what will happen is that someone here on Bartlett Street will submit their application to ISD for their permit, and I'll say exterior work, change the window size, and actually it might get flagged and I would just mark it as exempt, but in reality what will happen is that it will just mostly go right through because it will be outside of our jurisdiction.
Okay.
I'm not reviewing things that are outside of jurisdiction.
Okay. So can you go back to the comparison slide again?
Yes, this one.
Okay, so demo, land coverage, height of structure, landscape, topography. So within the protection area, you could end up with a building that sort of has all the exterior markings, historic, building markings removed, like the nice marble cornices, the trim, because the window size changed, and nothing could be done about that. And then again, I'm not saying what's right or wrong or what my position is. I just want to make sure people are clear about what it being in and out means. That a protection area means that unless one of those things are happening, you're not going to be able to undo the sorts of things that people, I think, may have started this petition around.
I would say it's worse than the first thing.
Okay.
Because what's going to end up happening is you're going to have buildings that are demolished and everything but name only. Everybody has seen these houses and buildings and they come and they think, leave just enough, like a slice of toast of the old building, and that's what people think about.
So we can put in right definitions.
Right. So currently, the term demolition, we want to define. So if you're demolishing more than 25% of an exterior, that would trigger demolition.
So it's not even a full demolition.
Honestly, trees.
Trees.
No, honestly, it's like it is that. I think some of it is like when there's I've seen rock outcroppings or parks.
I wonder. Like it seems pretty non.
It doesn't come up
to Charlestown, I guess. And what I wouldn't want to do, because I think we also heard on the walk, was like people being like, I just want to be. Property owner, and I can't bother for every little thing. Like, I don't think we should be bothering people over, like, do window boxes count as landscaping? Does your, like, 1 foot strip of whatever in front of your property count as landscaping? If it's, right, so I think we want to be clear.
Yeah.
If it's, then you might want to say, if it's not a tree,
yeah.
It's not, it doesn't count, just to not add burdens to people's lives.
So, part of this is being right into the
Halloween decorations.
Okay, Halloween decorations. Those are things that are
doable.
No matter how scary they are.
And our guidance in like the back bay, which I just looked at for air conditioners, it says seasonally, which is changing for us. Like more and more of us have to leave our window AC in for much longer now because seasonally has changed. So there are like those types of things that are not ever going to be regulated.
And I'll also add, I think a lot of times these elements come into play when you're looking at new development. And because I'll say, like, a lot of my experience is specific to the South End since I regulated it for so long. But, I mean, there are times that buildings get demolished and they don't make them, design them to the district standards. Sometimes they're like, no, it's fine, just due to the protection area standards. We'll just regulate the height, whatever. It's something that's useful when you get new development in so you can say, oh, no, we want more trees. Or, like, it kind of helps you have a little bit more of a voice in those settings as well. So.
Can I just clarify something?
Yeah.
So on that conversation about windows and protection versus landmark, the committee as part of this process gets to decide what level of window review happens in the landmark district.
Yes.
Right? So it's not just, it's in the landmark district automatically. We review the windows. It depends on what gets written into the standards.
Exactly. You can review as much of the windows as you want or as little. I mean, like, you can just review the configuration and not care if it's vinyl or composite material. Or you could. It's completely
up to
you.
But I just want to clarify that point.
I appreciate it.
It's not automatic that windows are a problem in the landmark.
Correct. It doesn't even have to be. The word windows does not even need to show up. I mean, it should, in my opinion, but...
Can you talk about how you limited the protection zone in your recommendation?
Yeah, so we, it's similar to what Jen had pointed out, in the legislation, you can only have up to 1,200 feet, so this shows the maximum, and we came to this conclusion...
Actually, Gabby, could you go to that text-heavy slide?
I sure can.
So, there is actually a legal
think that like the elements that are considered to like help determine the boundary protection area, you can see on the right. And so A is like major views and vistas, which obviously we can think of as like views of the monument in this case. Patterns of roads, paths, and alleys, which determine the size of adjacent land parcels, movement, contrast between scale and density. So that is why we capped it at Buckminster Street, because you know there's a big difference in scale and density on one side of the ocean and the other. And then similar contrast between the rate of structures and landscapes and open features. So you can go back to that maximum, like knowing that we have to stay within that legally maximum allowable area, and looking at those way those criteria were defined, sort of came up with what we thought made sense, but it is very open for discussion.
Is now the time to discuss?
Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely. And we will take public feedback soon. So
I think that's my question is why would you exclude like this zone down here? Which feels very, when I first applied to this, I lived on Trenton Street, but now I actually live down in that little area.
Oh.
And actually, I gotta say, like, where I live now actually feels much more like charming historic Charlestown than where I lived before that was in that box, you know?
Oops.
Yes, we could get most of that. It kind of cuts off a little awkwardly there, but
we can
absolutely. It's
like where St. John's Church is.
Yeah, I think I saw the markup.
The markup.
So, I mean, as part of this, we can mark up the printed map.
So I brought it. I never finished my column.
We brought markers. That's part of the exercise this evening. It's time to have that type of system. But I think that what your comment is, it really speaks to, like, the change on each street, really, the feeling and what you see here.
You know, can you put back, Cynthia, can you put back up and sort of highlight the area we were talking about, just because I'm...
Yeah, so I was saying, like, down in this zone, like, where St. John's Church, on the other map I can tell more about, St. John's Church is kind of right here?
Mm-hmm. So past Main Street, or, yeah, so past
Yeah, that
Main
whole little,
Street.
like mm-hmm. area there is, like, very sort of quiet, mostly historic mm-hmm. building.
Just if you want to pass the PDA. Stuff.
And I think they're probably from that same PDA time era.
I also want to say, and I think that's a little box up to the left, steps, the very mm-hmm. You know, it's the only thing left after the burning. So that, taking it down that way makes some sense too. I'll start a little bit.
So burial grounds are protected.
Oh, so you don't have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So, committee members, I just passed you guys markers.
The rules,
like,
sorry, the rules around burial grounds is that you can't project shadows on them, right? So you are already governed.
No.
That only.
Well, it's just that the Parks Department maintains and regulates it, so we don't need to.
Because I know, like, uses burial grounds.
Yeah, we have a couple, like.
But not all of them.
Yeah. Because there's only, I think, there's, like, four that are historic burying grounds.
Please do.
You
didn't
remember one. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably
should
have
known. Oh, do you want to put it down on the table? Maybe that table
instead?
Yeah.
Do you want to pick it up and
just
put it on the table, or is it easier to
do this? Well, Julie's a little worried about these bleeding
into
the wall.
Just do the pilot.
Yeah,
okay.
Julie, do you want us to take it down?
I have, like,
other pens.
You know what? I'm just gonna make the decision. So, like, let's just put it on the table and move these chairs, and then the committee members will come around and look at that. Because I don't want to be responsible for the tasting, the museum, and not being invited back.
The recommendation from you all, because that's really what we're concerned about.
meeting want to come up and kind of comment if they want. You can come on up.
You're welcome to come over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, help. Anyone can come over and observe.
Are we allowed to talk?
The study committee can take this time to mark out and give you whenever you're ready. This is all my comments.
Thank you.
Expansion of the landmark district and the expansion of the protection area as we discussed up here. That take that public comment. We'll have our next meeting. We'll have a better map, and it will also reflect some of the areas that have come up about being protested, and it will be able to consider your comments. So,
and we'll reschedule the discussion about public engagement event for the next
meeting. And we'll reschedule public engagement event for the next meeting. So, I'll go up here so I can see all of you guys. But we will open this up to public comment on those two issues. If you're talking about something else, we're going to move along. So, the question is, on expansion of the landmark district area or expansion of the protection area, what are your comments?
So,
does anyone have
a commentary
on things?
So, this is the original proposal from the application. This is what Landmarks is proposing.
Recommending
to the committee as a protection area. And we went through on the previous
show
slides.
What's possible.
I'm trying so hard to go between these
and
slides.
And the possible is the maximum under what the statute is for the protection area. So,
according to that current.
Exactly.
Landmark area. So, public comment. People have questions?
Or state your name.
This
diameter, 1,200 feet, is that a fixed position around, or is it fungible in that it could be moved around so that the square area of this was down over here a little bit and in over here a little bit? How does that work?
Sure. So we can't take from one area supplement another area.
I wondered that.
But you can maneuver that boundary to fit a parcel. And if you move the landmark zone, then that buffer moves in that direction.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you change the landmark zone and scale it up a little more,
if you did
then
this,
you change
you
that
this.
Perimeter.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of Richard McCarthy and a couple of questions just under what it means to be a historic district. First, does it require that anything that currently exists be changed?
No.
Second, the standards to be complied with respect to future work, are those established by some kind of a commission or a committee? Or
yes.
Are they written in stone somewhere?
This committee. We haven't done it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So we come up with them.
And just with respect to the monument area as an example, there are a variety of different types of buildings. There are some wood frame. You've got the old schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
The window vernacular is all over the lot.
Sure is.
And, you know, what you can do with the schoolhouse windows versus what you can do with a wood frame building.
That's part of what we were thinking about, too.
So how do you address, in the context of trying to come up with a quote uniform standard,
yeah.
How do you address what are now sort of the existing variations?
So, I mean, you would just frame the language to be a little bit more general. You might say something along the lines of that windows must be maintained in their original configuration or something along those lines so that it's applicable to different types of vernacular, different standards, but makes it very individual to the resource itself, because every building is different, right?
And you might want to encourage certain buildings to move in a different direction.
Exactly.
So
this is, I understand where these questions are coming from, and they're great questions, but we're just so short on time. I think we'll talk more about standards and conditions in our next meeting. And it's something we need to understand to expand the district, but
right,
I just sort of want to, yeah, and I understand that. So, but all that's going to be set. So, Amanda?
So currently we have urban design guidelines under the BPDA, like the planning department's, you know, purview over Charlestown. I understand that the landmark district needs to supersede those urban design guidelines with something that's really new. But is that the same for
think honestly they should, they're, I would expect they would have to be concurrent only because I think I remember in the legislation for what it says around protection areas is that it also has to like have a, it also has its own version of like a narrative basically, like it has.
So can we note that as a question?
Yes.
Are you willing to come back to talk about that? It's a great question. I think it does inform whether we expand or not. But I think we need to, it sounds like we don't have a definitive answer, so.
Correct.
But I think, okay, so do you mind if I move on to Dan? Okay, Dan.
Okay,
do you have
something? Yes, I do.
Just Dan.
Okay. First of all, I would like to see a better clarification of the boundary spaces. I think we're missing some of the important elements of the boundaries because it has to do with given era of when a building was built and what makes sense to protect of those eras. And we're really talking about the facades of these buildings and nothing more than that. And that's what it should be defined as, facades, not anything beyond that. And that's it, yes. Sorry. And roof lines. We also need to deal with what are called sight lines, because we've lost sight lines in our community. We used to, as an example, be able to see all the way to the Charles River. We can't anymore because there's buildings that are blocking view. At one point, you could actually see the Old North Church from the landing
So I hear the sight lines, and I think that's something we talked about. That's something that can be regulated.
Right.
Something that can be included in the terms and I'm going to keep saying terms and conditions, but what is it?
Standards and criteria.
Standards and criteria.
Everyone's ready for that.
And I have one more.
Okay.
And that's it. I would like to see more information available before the meeting on what's been discussed. Because we were arguing here as far as.
Well, the agenda was in the notice, but I don't know that anyone provides a lot more detail than that. But I think maybe there are some specific things like the statutes and some of the things that are hard to read. Having handouts for people to be able to read them rather than trying to see them up on slides would be helpful. And it can be online, if we can do that. And then the other piece is that I did ask, and I think we just didn't get it in time, were maps to hand out so that people who were in the audience can lock up their own maps and have something to refer to or take away with them. I think it's kind of difficult to see these slides, and even if you're seeing it online later, I think it's nice. I like having paper in my hand. I'm old enough that I feel the paper in my hand, and I still like it. So I think I agree with that. And in terms of what you were saying about like how buildings are in or out, or what sort of the criteria are. Again, it started with that plan development area. So then the other piece is like, are we looking for similar buildings? Are we looking for things that feel the same and that we want to keep a similar feel to? And I think that's an important question. If there's information about building ages and things like that specifically you want, it'd probably be helpful to define that by emailing the landlord so they can have more information.
It's just more of saying that the given space of that building, it's going to be torn down, it has to be replicated to the same era of what the building was.
Okay.
Everyone's ready for standards and criteria discussion.
All right.
Next
meeting. Can I get your name? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going for us.
Okay.
I would like to pay for in my hand with all the streets, names,
yeah.
Okay. What?
So, if you're not already signed up for our email distribution list,
she shouldn't have to sign up.
You should just give it to her.
Joanna, wait your turn, please.
Okay. So, we do
have the email line with it.
Okay. We do have a website with all the information on it. And I'm just making a general announcement for anybody here. Mm-hmm. And then you can also sign up for any alerts that come from us.
We're going to be flying the area, and then I guess I guess what I would say is that I do think we are looking to reach out to people that are not on email, not social media. We're going to start publishing things in the paper. stacks dropped in the library, would that be some place you can access them? Or if you leave your name and address, I'm sure we can make it.
Oh yeah, I can mail you something too.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out who wants things and how to get them. I think the city is not going to mail all of Charleston, but you can always email the mayor and ask them.
I just want to say, for this example, most weeks, Kelly and I submitted a petition with 60 signatures of people who had no idea what's going on up here. And so I think it's early on to expand it when people don't even know who live in the proposed area.
I think you acknowledge that, and I would be happy to talk to you guys about how to reach out to people.
We want the information and haven't been given it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you keep saying we're going to come with a plan and let people know. We've been here
3 years. There were 200 people at the CSC. Why didn't we mention it there?
Still, my family on Wallace Court has not gotten any information. Family on Chestnut Street has not gotten any information. Friends on Adam Street have not gotten any information.
Okay, but again, I'm happy to talk to you about that. I also don't control that, but I'm happy to.
You're the chairperson of the
committee. But I don't control getting it out in their marks. But I'm willing just to talk about it, so I'll talk to you guys about it. I don't need you to be so angry about this.
You've been angry since the minute you walked in this room and said you've been hands on the shit that everybody knows.
Because we have committee meetings.
Well, that's fine.
Just like we do at the CNC, we don't take community comments until the end. And you guys vote on the CNC.
Tom would never treat people the way you treat people tonight. Without everyone.
Simply saying that you have 60 signatures of people in this area. We think that it's time for their emails. Yes, I think that their 6 emails are all on there.
So we can mail notices. That's what you emailed us, right?
Okay. All of them. Yeah.
I have that.
I can email.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Okay. But I'm happy to talk about other ways to get hold of them. If you want to sign up 100 people, we'll get
We barely had substance conversation.
Well, actually,
I am not going to recognize
you.
that.
So we might be potentially commercial.
I think that's a disservice to this neighborhood. Did that because there was an open meeting law complaint about the hybrid format.
And you know why that open meeting law complaint was made? You want to bring it up?
Because I was muted and then asked, as if I wasn't muted, if I had more questions. By you, Elizabeth, you know. So it's, you know, the age is looking at it and see what happens.
So which one do you want, Juliana? Which one do you want?
I want in person at the library, at the police station, somewhere where there's Wi-Fi. We should have in person always. If you can do virtual, great. I think we can make that happen.
I think that's what we said.
It's not what we said.
Well,
so I
thank you for your comment.
And then I have one more question.
And Rosemary, I'm going to have to keep you until about 2 minutes, okay?
Right.
So,
Lisa, I have a bunch of questions, which I will put in writing to you.
That's
but
perfect.
I also have to answer. I do think it's too early to make a decision. I do think that the protection zone should be greater, and it should come down to those stone buildings on the part on the, we'll call it the west side of Main Street, and possibly down into City Square. Maybe that protection that the Ashford Landmark District should properly extend, I believe, down to the training field. Maybe some parts of those streets that are in that area of the training fields, I think that makes sense. Anyway, what I wanted to ask, I would like to ask that any virtual meetings be recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Recorded?
This is being recorded too.
Good. So they'd be posted online. I would also like to see that the agendas be posted 2 weeks in advance when the meeting notes are posted so that we know what you're going to discuss. So you're going to take a vote on something like this. We know about it. I would also like to know what happened with the December 17th meeting. Is that not on? But will you post a list of the meetings somewhere so we all know
yes,
when the meetings
are definitely.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, who is going to be the decision maker for any waivers for in the landmark zone or the protection zone? I gather you people will be creating standards, so I want to know who's going to be in charge of it. Waiving or saying that something either fits within
staff.
Or is without staff, and is it appealable?
Yeah.
To who?
Yeah.
You.
No, it's not appealable to staff. It's written into the regulations of how appeals are handled.
Can somebody post that so that
I have that in my notes.
And in the historic zone, are there going to be tax breaks offered by the city? Or any of the properties that are highly regulated in that area. Just a question that I don't expect to answer tonight. And then I asked who's going to adjudicate, and then my pen ran out. So I would just like to say, though, that I think that the community really needs to be included in the limits of the landmark zone and the protection zone. And I think that, no disrespect, Nancy, but you haven't done a good job in publicizing it around the neighborhood, because this was the first meeting that I heard about when I opened up because Crystal sent it to me as part of the CMC. And
I sent it to everyone on the CMC.
I also think that the notices aren't sufficiently in advance, and I think that we would get more notice if the notice were in advance, and I would like to request that we do another block.
There will definitely be another.
I think one of the reasons we want to set our meeting schedule, as we discussed at the beginning, is that we can put all of those dates out there right away so people have them. And that was to address that. And part of the reason there's been a little bit of trouble about notice is that we have the plan, as I mentioned, the planning group scheduled over two of our meetings and we canceled them before we ever noticed them. So. And then the boundary blocks, we had weather issues because I think we're on the right track.
I have one last question. When is this all supposed to come to a conclusion? So what do we have an ending goal or a finite point?
Is the work plan?
changes each meeting, and I think we get that up on the website.
That'd be great.
It may, things may shift around a little bit, because like tonight, we didn't get to our full agenda, okay? So,
we're taking our time relative to the work plan, though. It's not
about that. I just want to know if there's a hard fixed point by which a decision has to be made, or if there isn't, then more or less what date it is. And I don't care what date it is, I just want to know
next year
what the process is.
These are all really good questions for us, and I appreciate it if you can send them in writing together.
Did I give you my business card ready?
No, no.
Okay. If we're there,
the
is, oh, I'm sorry.
The frustration is valid. We're working on addressing them, so we have to build in more time to address them. I think the communication issue is completely valid, and we need to address it. Rosemary's questions? Yeah, everyone's input is welcome
it's,
and valid.
It's welcome
the
and
process.
Valid.
Sorry, can I just get the last comment, and then we go?
We're not going to vote on this.
And just quickly, this is, first of all, thank you. Thank you all for what you're doing, and I appreciate it. I would say I'm hoping, first of all, I found this to be very confusing. I really did. I found it to be very confusing. I wasn't sure what was going on and what the implications are for everyone that lives in Charlestown and has a home in Charlestown. I would say that I do respect the idea of the architectural integrity around the monument be upheld. And if we are to expand to a protected area, I think that we need to discuss it because we might want to include other areas such as Town Hill. But I'm hoping that there's no vote at this point in time.
No.
But I would say informing the neighbors, especially around the monument specifically at this point, since that seems to be the more integral part of this whole idea. But please notify neighbors and try to get either one-on-ones or try to get them together so that they can discuss and understand that what the implications are for their home and where they live. I think that's really, really important because it's a little scary for a lot of people because we're talking in landmark district terms, but we're not talking about home and what the implications are to their home.
Yeah,
so I really do think that we need to kind of settle down and get a little clearer in speaking to people how it affects them personally.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem, right? So there's the proposed landmark area and what could be a protection area. Then there's like, okay, we've had a lot of people already, so we've got the first phase of public comments about expanding it. And I agree, I think everything that people have said about having more communication is valid. Making it a personal attack is not valid. But I do think that we can do better on communication. We talked a lot about that at the beginning of this meeting about how we're planning to do that now that we're back into work mode. But and what I'm hearing is that now that people are sort of seeing boundaries, they're worried about what the standards and criteria are.
Got it.
And I think that is something that, again, we mentioned it earlier, the three sort of levels, the standard and criteria around the city of Boston from very light to very stringent, and one in the middle have been given to the committee. And I think we can probably make those available to the community to look at too, so they can see what standards and criteria look like. And I do agree, these are people's homes, and they need to understand what's going to happen around their homes and what they can do there.
Potential are.
And again, the committee will make a recommendation. It will have public input, but the public continues to have input once that
Well, hopefully those recommendations
out.
Come from the competing bill in the neighborhood.
Yes, right, the people that come, and we're going to flyer, and we're going
to
try, we're going to get things in the paper.
And you might have to knock our doors and meet on the one-on-ones.
Yeah, and set up those, and if you want us to come and talk to the Monument Association, wants to have a meeting, and wants to have some members of the committee come and talk, I'm happy to go do that. I'm sure other members are too.
I think having
those kinds of conversations are really important. So I think it's time to wrap it up because we're over. and I think we've got to everybody. So if not, we're not voting on anything tonight. We're going to have a better map at the next meeting. We're going to come back with some of the answers that people asked about, like things like the overlay district and how things can be appealed. So if you asked a question that you really want to make sure you get answered, send it in writing. Okay? And if you want to have one-on-ones or there are people you think particularly that you'd like to talk about outreach, you can reach out to me, you can reach out to the Landmark staff. So I really appreciate everyone coming tonight, and thank you for your time. I will take a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Nancy.
Turn it off on my hot spot. Burning through that battery.
I gave away my last name to the start, so I have no more. But I wrote down my contact on my new paper if you want it. I'm sorry.
I can easily do that.
I never got that. The third one.